If we haven't met, my name is Emma Dotter. I help lead Join the Journey here at Watermark, but this is my friend Jim Wimberly, and he's going to pray to kick us off.
Well, Father, we thank you for this opportunity that we have just to learn more about how your word impacts not only our lives, but the lives of our children and our grandchildren, and Lord, just how it is our guide to life. And just help us to more fully understand that, and also just some maybe creative ways about how we can teach our children about how much you love them, how much you care for them, and your plans and your just guide rails for living life. And Lord, we realize we need to do that in the power of your Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. So, Lord, we just pray the children of every person that's in this room would come to know Jesus at an early age and just follow the Lord Jesus all the days of his or her life. And, Father, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Well, I am not a parent, to start us off. I'm a 27-year-old single person with no children. So I brought some of my favorite parents from Watermark up here with me, and I'm going to let them introduce themselves, share a little bit about who you are and how many kids and grandkids you have. And I think the microphone may be off, so we can hit that.
Oh, is it off?
Yeah, I think so. But we still heard your prayer. God heard. There you go. Okay. All right, you're ready.
We're Jim and Judy Wimberly, and we have four children, and we have 14 grandchildren.
And I'm Teresa Krejci, and I have one adult son who's 22 years old.
And we are Casey and Creighton Uphues, and we've got two boys. We have a fifth grader and a ninth grader.
I love it. Well, to kick us off, I'm just going to do a quick overview of Join the Journey, which is our church's daily Bible reading plan. Anybody familiar with Join the Journey? Okay, maybe 75% of us. For those of you who aren't, Join the Journey has three main components: read, listen, and write. Read being that every year we provide a Bible reading plan for adults and one for kids. That children's reading plan is aimed for ages 8 and up, 3rd through 6th grade or so. Middle school kids usually pick, do I want to do the grown-up plan or the kids plan? But that's free. So every January, we kick it off on January 1, and we'll start promoting that out to the church actually coming up December 3rd is our first Sunday where we'll be in the town center. We also post daily devotionals for adults online every day, Monday through Friday, written by church members for you to read as well. There's discussion questions, a key verse. And then we have Listen. For adults, we post a daily podcast every day aimed at helping tackle the toughest verse or verses in that day's reading. And then once a week, we post a podcast episode for kids. That one's targeting a little bit younger, probably toddlers up to 8 years old. And it's retelling the Bible story. And the goal is that if you as a parent are studying all week long, by the time the kids' lesson comes out on Friday, you are more than equipped to talk about the Bible with your family. And all of that is totally free and available to you online. Just search Join the Journey or Join the Journey Junior. You'll find it. And then lastly, the third component to Join the Journey is Write. Every year we release two guided journals, one for kids, again, kind of that 3rd through 6th grade age level, and one for adults full of additional resources and whatnot. We have those available for sale in the town center today, and then we'll sell them every Sunday in December and January. Those are the only ones that cost money. Everything else is free. And I am so glad you're here today to learn from these folks, and we truly primarily probably won't be talking about Join the Journey all that much. Because the junior, the kids plan, only launched 2 years ago, so it's relatively new, or this year. We're about to start year two, only 1 year in. So I would love to hear, just to start us off, when it comes to your personal pursuit of the Lord through the scriptures as parents, what do you do? What does that look like for you with busy schedules? How has that maybe evolved over the years, Wimberly's? What does that look like? Who wants to go first? Creighton's passing out? No?
Sure.
Okay.
It's changed over the years. I served in Summit for many years. So that, for those of you who are familiar with Summit, that's the men's Bible study. So that was where I would often get my kind of reading from and what I would do. Currently, I'm not leading in Summit anymore. I've decided that I'm, now that I have a high schooler who is attending the larger services, I figure much of the work is already done by leadership here and the pastor, so I'm actually reading along in more depth with what is being taught from the pulpit. So it gives me an opportunity to dive into that deeper, for that to be a little bit more robust when I come in and learn, and to feel that, as also to have some further conversation with my eldest son, since he's sitting in those same sessions, and just have an opportunity to kind of live that out and organically have some of those conversations.
I serve with Women's Bible Study on Thursday nights. I've been in Women's Bible Study for 14 years, and so that's how I stay tethered. I find that I need the accountability of a small group and other women walking through the Word and study. And so in the summers, when I'm not, when we're not meeting with Bible Study, I have a group of women on our street that I kind of organically pulled together, and we get together and do a study over the summer. So that's pretty much what I do.
That's fun.
I don't have a kid at home anymore, but when I was a young mother, I had a neighbor who invited me to a parachurch Bible study, and I really liked it because it had a children's and student program to go along with it. And so for 14 years, my son and I got to go to that Bible study together. I also homeschooled him, so that was a really good fit for kind of what our lifestyle was, and it was just an easy fit into our homeschooling life. And so, again, I spent about 14 years in that Bible study, and now I'm currently in the Watermark Women's Bible Study.
Well, I'm going to talk about things that are in our past, because we have four children, and one of the things that we did in our family was that everybody picked a continent, and they would pray for their continent. And we had a board in the kitchen where you could go and write things on, and they would come and write what they were praying for their continent. And that was really something they all enjoyed. And so I'm trying to remember what everybody's was.
Yeah, my continent, I know, was Asia, but one of the things we'd do is we studied the Bible. We would pick out a verse for the week, and we'd put it on that whiteboard, and then that would be what we'd pray and encourage the kids to pray for their particular continent. And the funny thing about that is that that whiteboard was in the kitchen, and the kids' friends would come in, and I put four little stick figures up there, and I put the initials of Jenna, Jonathan, Joshua, and Jordan, and kids would come in and they would add their stick figures to that Bible verse and put it on there. So
that's sweet. I love it. You keep that. Let's talk best practices with kids of different ages. So let's start with toddlers and work our way up. Toddlers, elementary school, teenagers, and then we'll get into what does it look like to have adult children. But when it comes to toddlers, obviously you've got kids who can't read. What does it look like to engage them with the truth of God's word before they're able to read?
Well, just the natural thing when my kids were just toddlers would be that I would put, when I went, put them down for an afternoon nap, before that we would talk about a verse. And we would maybe draw, I would give paper to them, and they could draw what they thought about when they heard that verse. And that way, then at night, either James or I would go in and actually, you know, pick up the Bible and read the verse that we had done even at nap time, and just talk about it with them. And, you know, like with the girls, we'd get a doll, they could get a doll out, and they could act like they were teaching their doll that verse and talking about it. So when they were little like that, we just used nap time and going to bedtime to do that. And then at mealtime, we would take things, go around the table, and everybody have one sentence that they would say before we started our meal. And another thing I did is get a big plate that I put on a stand, and I would write a verse for the day or the week. Usually it was for the week. And it would just sit out there, and then they would come by, and I told them they could not open any of the cabinet doors to get food, you know, to find food that they wanted, unless they read that verse out loud. I wanted to hear them read that, and then they could go, you know, get in the cabinet and get whatever that they wanted.
That's so fun. Any other toddler elementary thoughts? You got some down there?
I mean, we were big Jesus Storybook Bible readers at bedtime and throughout. And I think the other thing we did, I did a lot of music, like the Seeds Worship. We would memorize scripture through song.
What is it called?
Is it Seeds Family Worship? I'm looking at you. Mm-hmm. Okay. And they do scripture verses to songs. And so in the car, we would sing, and even just some of the just hymns and worship, anything that just kind of put that song in their heart of any different truth. So singing, reading the storybook Bible at night, and then what was the other thing? Just supporting the church curriculum. That would be kind of our kickoff point for the week. Whatever the verse is that they're learning in Sunday school, talk about it. That was what we were focusing on, the ride home or there, any of those toddler years, like when they're just talking. That would be our verse throughout the week, would be whatever they're teaching at church.
That's fun. What about teenagers? How do we encourage teenagers to get in the Word? You've just introduced.
Yeah, I do not have any expertise in this.
That's fair. Speaking as a child, for me, the teenage years, high school years, were really when I started to fall in love with God's Word. And I think the biggest thing my dad did was simply encourage me. So if he ever saw me take an interest, our youth group didn't have Join the Journey, unfortunately for them, but they had a paper pamphlet. It was a one-page front and back with daily Bible studies for a week, and any time he saw me get in the car with that after church or take an interest in it at home, he would always encourage me or ask me what I learned. And even just that simple practice, I think, helped me as a teenager, because it didn't feel like he was babying me or forcing me to do it. It almost felt like he was seeing responsibility or righteousness, maybe would probably be the proper term, and just encouraging it, which was huge in my life. Wimberly's, y'all have raised some teenagers.
We never paid our kids for grades, but we always paid them for memorizing scripture.
Really?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
You know, that's a good way to motivate someone to memorize scripture. But then also, you know, just telling them that we said God's word is something you can take to heaven, you know, because, you know, God says heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will last forever. And just trying to drill that into their minds and still our kids, you know, talk about that God's word, Bible verses, is luggage that we can take to heaven. So.
I love it. Let's talk about some obstacles, unless anyone has any other teenage thoughts. Or we'll get to adult children a little bit more in a second.
I maybe have a teenage thought.
You have a teenage thought? Let's do it.
Yeah. Emma had kind of sent us the questions ahead of time and so that we could think about them, but I went through the questions with my son to see what he thought about, like what we did as parents and what was helpful to him. And one of the things that he said that surprised me in how the questions were structured and how he answered back to me was that he said the thing that was most helpful to him is that he saw me and my husband reading our Bible, and that we just did it naturally, that we weren't doing it doing it way early in the morning before he woke up, or we weren't doing it at night or when he wasn't there, that it was just a kind of a natural rhythm of our lives. And so he saw that it was important to us. And
I love that. You set the pace. It's good.
I guess so. I didn't know it, but.
But he was watching.
And I think especially for teenagers, you have to be really careful about, like, what you say to them and what you kind of expect them to do. Mm-hmm. But that if you were genuinely modeling that, it turns out they're watching that.
Creighton, did you have a thought?
Yeah, I could speak loud enough about
But yeah, I think just to add on to that, right? Kids, probably even, I should say probably, even more so than what you say, right? What you do is ultimately going to hit home for them, right? So just to reinforce that, right? Showing the prioritization of studying the word, while they may not always want to be doing it themselves. I know that my kids don't like to read much, and we'll probably talk about some of that as we talk about obstacles for certain reasons, is just prioritizing that and having it be a natural conversation piece of the word in your heart, not to necessarily always lecture them with it, but just to reinforce what does the Bible say about that. Getting up early for me and going to Summit, you know, showing that to my boys that, look, they know I don't like to wake up early in the morning.
Me neither.
But Dad getting up and going and meeting other men at 6:30 in the morning every week shows them that it's important. Mom being gone on Thursday nights, right? And they see that as a boys' night, which is fun, right? We go do things that Mom doesn't necessarily want to do. But at the same time, they see it's also important to our family, and it's important to me, like, that she has an opportunity to do those things and that they can be reinforced with our boys.
I love it. One obstacle to reading the Bible together as a family is attention spans. I mean, all the studies show attention spans are getting shorter and shorter and shorter. How do you keep reading the Bible together as a family fun and engaging without compromising content, so to speak?
I'll start a little bit as well, since I have the microphone. So one of the things that we struggle with, and it's ended up us having to do kind of shorter studies, shorter conversations than where I would normally go, right? I've definitely learned over the years, and sometimes it's still reinforced that I might be a little bit too long-winded with some of my either studies or what we're trying to do. Is both of our boys ADHD, or one more ADD, one more ADHD, and both of them are dyslexic. So neither one of them really likes to read.
Or sit.
Which makes studying the Bible difficult, as you can imagine. So in those settings for us, it is trying to keep it concise and quick and relevant to maybe some things that are going on in their lives, right? So more so with now the 14-year-old can have a little bit more, which is why I'm trying to do the studies along with what he is studying, right? Things that are relevant to him, because he doesn't want to engage in something that he doesn't think is relevant to him in anything. But outside of that, it's trying to keep it short and trying to find things that they are interested in, that they are doing, so you can have those conversations and make it poignant.
I mean, I think for me, it is the short bursts of and catching them in the moments where, like if we're reading the scripture, we listen. The comprehension is challenging for them, so we listen. Or they listen to me read, and I'll stop and be like, what was that? What, you know, like, not wait to read the whole passage and ask the questions. Mm-hmm. Or short attention span. It's like, why did they say that? What did you think about that? Like, ask them along the way. We just do a lot of different mediums. It's not always just requiring them to sit and read it, because for us, comprehension is our enemy. And so I know they can understand it if they hear it. And so we just read a lot, or they listen on the Bible app or any of that kind of stuff. Just makes it easier for them.
I love it.
We as a family had a decision that we would go on a beach trip every summer. And we said, you know, we don't really care about holidays or things like that, but we do want all of us to go together for 1 week on the beach. And so when we did that, we said that we would have a way of doing something, you know, to be looking at God's word. And so I'm gonna let James do that, because he did something interesting with the boys.
Yeah, Judy would teach a Bible study to the girls and uses a turtle called Verses the Turtle, and they'd always come up with a verse that they'd memorize. But I take the guys and go out and do man time, and so
is that what you called it, man time?
Man time, yeah.
Love it.
So we go out and do man time and
I'm gonna say, in order for this man time thing to work every morning, I had to get up really early so I could get breakfast for the boys before they get out.
Yeah, the men like to eat breakfast before they have man time. But that's a fun time to get into God's Word and do that every day. But kind of a way to maybe keep kids' attention is, sometimes of maybe just summarizing the passage of what it is in Scripture and then coming out with maybe a main verse. This is a verse that we want to apply to our lives, to where you can kind of keep it simple rather than being real complex. And also, too, if you can bring in a story that maybe from their lives that might relate to the passage of Scripture, or even from your life of something that happened, that makes it makes them a lot more interested and a lot more attentive. So,
I love that. Judy, I know that you've got some fun games. I don't know if you remember this, but I do. One time at Women's Bible Study, you were teaching, and you shared about the repent game.
Oh, yeah.
You want to share about that?
Yeah. This was when the grandkids were kind of middle stream. But we'd go out in the backyard, and we would have them race. And then they would run, and I would say, repent. And they'd turn around and run back. And so the one who won on that one got some sort of prize. But, yeah.
But you teach them a biblical concept. What is repenting? To turn from your sin and spread the opposite direction.
So it would just say, I would crawl out, repent, and they would just quickly turn around and run all the way back. So
it's just so fun. Yeah. I mean, that's not boring. If I'm a little kid, I'm going to win that race.
They actually loved that. We did that a lot.
I love it. Let's jump to question 6. Your kids go off to college. They turn 18, or they leave the home. Maybe they don't go to college, but they grow up. How do you maintain spiritual unity as a family, or check in on them spiritually once they leave? What does that look like?
I don't know. We may be the only ones that have them in college or have them out of college. We got grandkids in college now, but one of the things that we did a long time ago is get a group text going, and it's got all of the kids and spouses and grandkids on it, and so we'll send out different verses and things like that to kind of stay connected. But we also send out fun things too that are going on, and that's where we have all the birthdays. So we'll send out when it's somebody's birthday and everybody chimes in. But it's just a good way to stay connected as a family and also stay connected spiritually. Mm-hmm.
When our son graduated and left home, my husband and I didn't go to Watermark, but my son, as he kind of wanted to be in a more hipster church and with more young adult people, because we went to a church that had an older population, and he came over here to Watermark and started going to the porch. My husband and I just started listening to the porch online, and that gave us kind of a, first of all, to like see kind of what teaching he was under, and then when we would see him or when we would have phone conversations with him, we could maybe engage in conversation with him based on what he was learning here at Watermark. And then I think, too, that also pointed to that we were interested in him, that he, mm-hmm. like, he wasn't the one who told us to listen to this. We just kind of picked up on his cues and the conversations that we were having with him, and just as parents tried to engage with him kind of behind the scenes.
What about Teresa? As Ben now, he's married, good friend of mine. I know that y'all have a great relationship today. You've both come on the Join the Journey podcast together. You talk about spiritual things. What has that looked like as he's truly stepped into his adult years, embraced them? He's off on his own leading his wife.
Well, certainly that's really encouraging to me, to a mom, is that mm-hmm. we've gotten to do that, because as you're raising your kids, you hope that you get to that point where you get to do that. And I don't really think that it's anything super intentional that I've done. Mm-hmm. I think that it's been the Lord's faithfulness in my life and as I was plugging into God's Word as a young mom, going to women's Bible study, being consistent in my Bible study, raising my son to read the Bible and trying to engage with him in biblical ways, that over time we've just kind of developed this natural rapport with one another and an ease of having spiritual conversations with each other. And I think that maybe if we had not started that, if that had not been built upon over years and years and, a couple of decades with each other, if maybe as my kid was getting ready to leave home that I thought, oh my goodness, I need to make sure that he's going out into the adult world and that he's engaging with the Lord, that he's getting plugged in with his church, I think it would have been too late. Mm. And
I love it. Casey, did you want to add something?
Yeah, I think to encourage parents with young kiddos, it's creating those rhythms. I think that's what it is. The rhythm of we go to church on Sunday, or the rhythm of it's not weird for us to talk about God and the Bible and all areas of our lives and our relationships and discipline. They learn verses throughout, like our yeses are yeses and our noes be noes. I mean, they might then later learn that it's a Bible verse, even though I told them it was, I think it's just those rhythms that continue on and they desire it. The Holy Spirit, like as you go off to college or as they grow up. My nephew is a freshman in college and we see him wanting to find a church home because he recognizes that, that rhythm of Sundays and then just the accountability of being in a church body. So I just feel like it's that sweet piece of how to create that unity is that you create those rhythms in your home that they desire it after they leave.
I think that's so true. Growing up, I moved a ton. We were actually talking about this out there before the session. I moved probably every 7 to 10 months all throughout elementary school. But I remember as a kid, anywhere we moved, my parents would always prioritize finding a new church. Mm-hmm. And so when I went to college, and that's kind of the big thing, our kids, when they graduate high school and go to school, are they going to stick with the church? That discipline was just instilled in me because I knew when you move, that's the first thing you prioritize. And I just simply saw my parents model it, which was sweet.
Well, and I have plenty of friends that have kind of set that rhythm as well, mm-hmm. and been very intentional, but still their kids go to college and they maybe get plugged into the wrong group or that sure. They just don't follow up with that, mm-hmm. that's not necessarily a guarantee that that's going right. to happen, even as a parent, that you're setting those things. So as I have found that as a parent, boy, I thought I'd been praying for my kid as I was raising him, and it's when he's left home that it's been really critical that my prayer life for him has been more intense than what it's ever been before.
Let's camp out there for a second. What have your prayer lives for your kids in this area of their spiritual formation, their love for God's word? What does that look like?
I think for us, one thing that we did early on is at Christmas, as a Christmas gift, we told them, we will pay for you to go to Pine Cove Camp in the summer. And so we started to do that as a Christmas gift. And as a result of that, all 14 of our grandchildren love Pine Cove. And they now, they're getting to the age where Pine Cove is hiring them for like next summer. There's 3 or 4 of them who already have jobs from Pine Cove in different situations to say. But we felt like that, especially with the grandchildren, that like giving them Christmas gifts, you just get certain things for Christmas and it lasts about 2 or 3 months or whatever. We just felt like if we say, we will pay for you to go to camp this summer, it has paid off in just amazing ways because they love it. And now they all want to go work there because they enjoyed it so much when they were going.
And, we pray every day for all of our children and grandchildren. And we end the prayer by just praying the same thing. They're praying for this conference, that God will allow us to leave a godly heritage, a godly legacy, just a high watermark for Jesus, that every generation that lives would come to know Jesus, follow hard after him, and participate with him in many coming into his kingdom. And, you know, we've been praying that prayer for many, many years before we ever had grandchildren. And I think that if we continue to pray a prayer like that, God bends low to hear our prayers. And I think that he listens to them. And, you know, we may be in heaven before we'll know what the results of all of that is. But just the fact, you know, it pays to pray.
I love it. Apus, you got any thoughts, or you want to go to the next question?
Yeah, I'd like to say something real fast.
Yeah, go for it.
Just to jump on what Jim said a little bit, I mean, the power of prayer is real, right? I mean, I don't know if there's anything that you can do, obviously, outside of modeling it, right, so your kids see it, but praying for them, praying for other people in general, I don't know if you can do something more so than that, right? Having that relationship with the Lord to be able to say what's on your heart and to pray for your kids. I mean, at the end of the day, that's you know, the Lord is the one, you know, who's going to be able to ultimately let things, you know, sink in and where they go. So for me, for my boys, right, it's just the constant prayer that I want boys that are men after God's own heart, right? Mm-hmm. And that they seek to follow him in whatever they do. And outside of that, like, what they do for a living, I don't care. Like, if just find that prayer and just kind of, you know, live in it and have it be a real thing in your life. And it, you know, I truly believe, I don't know ultimately, right, where that will lead out with our boys, but it's probably the most important thing that I think I do on a regular basis for my sons.
Sweet. Let's go grandchildren. Wimberly's, anything y'all want to add about spiritually investing in your grandchildren, or you feel like we've covered it?
You know, I just think, I mean, one of the things that I think is has been beneficial of the impact of our kids and our grandkids is that for 15 years, Judy had a good news club in the house. And, you know, that's teaching. A good news club, teaching kids about the Bible and presenting, you know, the gospel each week. And so it was a great deal when the kids were smaller, and as the older kids you know, got older, then they helped with the Good News Club. And, you know, I'm going to have stars in heaven because I put the sign out front that said Good News Meets Here Today. And
he was so
but,
proud of himself.
But I think, you know, the impact that has is like we have a daughter that, like Judy's a teaching leader in women's ministry. She's a teaching leader at Harris Creek, and just that kids watch what you do. They watch how you pray. They watch how you study God's word, and they want to be like you. And so the more that you are involved in spiritual things, the greater impact you're going to have on your children and your grandchildren, because we see that playing out with the grandchildren also. So.
I love it. Any other thoughts? Yeah.
I was going to say that our youngest daughter was a cheerleader in high school. And so I said, well, let's have kind of like a little club for your squad. And they come over one afternoon during the week. And so one of the mothers called me, and she said that she did not want her daughter to be coming to something that was, quote, religious. And so I said, well, of course, do what you know, feel like is best for your daughter. But so that girl could not come for probably a year. It was a year. But then when she got a driver's license, she started coming because she didn't tell her mother that she was coming to my house on those days. And she really wanted to know things about God. So while I had been kind of, you know, really saddened at the when she said she couldn't come anymore, I just saw how God worked it out, because her mother worked late on that day, and she was old enough to drive then, and so she would just come to our house, but she would leave in time to get, you know, home before her mother got off work. So, but I just thought.
A sneaky Bible study.
And she came to know Jesus.
Wow.
Yeah, she did. So it's exciting to be committed to wanting your children to follow the Lord. And so, you know, we just can do just a lot of things that we wouldn't have even thought of that God brings in place. And you don't forget those things. I mean, I can see that girl's face and how she felt when she couldn't come and then when she got to come. So I would just encourage you, if you start out and you think, oh, it's going slow, nothing great is really happening, just stay with talking to the Lord about it. One of the boys would come in, and he would always look at what James had put up on the board as far as the verses for the week. And he went to A&M, but he would, every week, he would email us and say, what are you putting on the board this week? And he was doing the same thing, because he was doing that do a verse for their group at A&M. So you just, it'll just expand.
Uphues, did y'all wanted to add anything about family rhythms when it comes to learning disabilities and what that looks like for your family?
Yeah, sure. I think it's, I love to read. And I was blessed with a dyslexic husband and two dyslexic boys that literally pains them, right? They just don't enjoy it. Hurts their brain. And so I had to really check my heart and reevaluate some expectations that I had and be a student of them and figure out, okay, how are we going to do this? Because I had dreams of them getting up and reading next to me when I was doing my study, and just, it's not happening. So, but I think for me, it was just about talking and discussing and hitting them, when, you know, getting them to not even know that they were learning about the Bible when I would talk about stuff. And again, like I already said, that they would listen to it and we would listen to music and I would read it to them, because I just had to get past the point of, like, they just need to hear it. They can comprehend it if they hear it, but comprehension's hard if they don't hear it. So what does that look like to get it in front of them? And so I think that was it for us, is just rereading stuff that I thought I may have read them when they were young, but they maybe not have retained it, so we'll pull back out stuff. Or I would choose what to read one night, but then they, you know, you get a choice this night, mom gets a choice this night of what we would read in the evenings. And but just knowing that God has made them exactly who he has want them to be. And so you just, as a parent, have to figure out how you can help them get that treasure in their heart. So
we've got about 5 minutes. Is that right? Ish. Any questions in the audience? Yes, sir.
So, I'll just confess, I've had a lot of difficulty on this front, right? So I've got elementary age children, 10, 8, 5, and just with the two older ones, we've tried to join the journey junior. And it's like I'm trying to find this balance of, like, I can certainly force them to start doing this thing. And then they're like, okay, I'll do this to get you off my back. And I end up, like, hating it, right? So it's like, you know, and so I'm kind of struggling with, like, the right way. And I know you guys have given a lot of practical, you know, handholds on, like, things to do. But I'm just kind of thinking, like, what's the right kind of, like, expectation I should have, you know, and how to, like, you know, get them sort of, like, to realize the value of, like, what it is to commune with God and to spend time with his word and to understand it. But it's kind of hard just because it seems like it's more homework.
Sure. So for the sake of the recording, I have to repeat the question. What I hear you saying is you've got a 10, an 8, and a 5-year-old, and you've tried tons of different Bible study options, and you want them to love God's word, but you don't want to shove it down their throats, force them to do it. What do you do in that situation?
I mean, we're right there with you. I laughed when Emma was like, do you want to be on this panel? I'm like, we're not really great at this. I don't really feel like we're great at this. And so that's the reality, is you just feel like, what is too much? What is not enough? And for me, I have found it's catching them in those moments where I feel like they're receptive. And so we talk in the car because they're buckled in. And we talk at breakfast because they have to sit there and eat. And so for me, we have Sticky Situations is a book that we read in the morning. There's other books books that are like the daily little nuggets. I've got it. But yeah, Sticky Situations is a great morning little devotional. There's another one that Nancy Guthrie has done that's a morning devotional. And I will just read it to them as they sit and eat their waffle. And the same thing in the car. But some of it is just trusting the Lord that you will plant those seeds when you can, and that the maturity of them will hopefully, it will take root. It will just, you know, it won't return void.
Yeah, don't be discouraged. Continue to plant seeds, right? You don't know when those seeds may take hold, right? And so for me, that's the biggest thing, because that was my story, right? Like, I didn't grow up in a Christian household. People planted seeds, you know, through the years of me growing up, and I apologize. it's ultimately, I wouldn't be here if people hadn't done that for me. So just continue to plant seeds. And show them that you love the word, right? Like, modeling that will make a difference.
Yes, ma'am. Did you have a question?
Yeah, so we have a 12-year-old. We're Christians, raised in church, lived our lives as Christians, but didn't make reading the Bible a priority because life got busy with little kids and sports, and I'm a working mom, and I hadn't prioritized it. And my 12-year-old got baptized last year and made a commitment to God. He got a Bible from the church and made a commitment to God that he was going to read it every day. And we started seeing him reading his Bible every single night. And we would have baseball tournaments, baseball practices, go super late, and he'd be exhausted super late at night, up in the dark reading the Bible. And it was so convicting. Just so convicting that I decided I really need to jump on board with him and support this. And so now we've entered this journey over the past year of reading our Bible together, but I also have a son that's dyslexic, and he just, like, would rather, you know, do anything but read. But he also loves God, and like you said, he's an auditory learner. So how would you, like, find that balance where you have one kiddo that just loves it and another kid that just, and you don't want to compare two siblings, but, you know, it's hard, it's a challenge.
Yeah.
And you don't want to make him feel like a less of a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I'm saying?
No, absolutely.
I've got to repeat it really quick.
Yeah.
Okay. She's got two kiddos, a 12-year-old who has fallen in love with the Word of God, and his pursuit of God's Word, it sounds like, is really spurring you on as parents to get in the Word more. But then he's got a brother with dyslexia, you said? And so it's challenging to not compare between the two kids, and you also want to care for them both and spur them on uniquely and individually.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
No, I mean, similar, I've got, but our dyslexics could not be more different. One is what I would say is very severe, and the other one is just, he just needed a little bit more help to get him going. But I think it's just loving them where they are, and just knowing that God works in a lot of different channels, not just through reading your Bible. And so some of it is just, hey, let's memorize a verse together, or let's talk about it. I have a boy study that I'll have you, that you can maybe read with your younger one, that I've really loved doing specifically, that is more about how to trust God. It's about how a man trusts in the Lord. And I've been reading that one with him at night, because he's not going to open up his little, yeah. So it's just finding how they like to learn. And if it's, and yeah, because you don't want to cram it down their throat, and you don't want to belittle them or any of that. And so it is hard. But yeah, I don't know if that helped answer. Sorry.
I think are we out of time? We're out of time, but we'll hang out after for a second, so you can come grab us. Does that sound good? Somebody's in this room after us, so we have to get out. But let me pray for us, and if you want to talk more after, we'll be hanging out. Sound good? Father God, I thank you so much for this room full of parents who desire for their children to grow up and love your word, and even to love your word now. God, I pray boldly that they would. I pray we'd see a generation rise up with even greater hunger for your word than the one that preceded them. Lord, I thank you for these friends up here on stage with me, and just for their willingness to walk with humility and honesty and share what they've learned over many years of leading their families. And so, would you bless them for giving up their time today, and for the rest of this room, God, I pray that as they continue attending the conference this weekend, that you would give them alert minds, discernment, and wisdom as they listen, that they would be attentive to your spirit and what you have for them as a family and as individuals, as they hear teaching and go to fun events and speakers and all the things. God, I pray that they would be sensitive to your spirit and aware of what you'd like to show them this weekend. So, Lord, we love you, and we thank you for this time together. Amen.